the parsha picks up after the episodes at the very end of last week, and of course we realize that we could have divided it differently and we could have just continued. So we're in the first source, which is Perek Hafei, Pasuk Yudalid. V'shem Yisrael hamukeh asher huka et hamidyanit, Zimri ben Tzaluy nisi beit av l'shamoni. So what we missed in a couple of verses before that was the whole reward of Pinchas. Pinchas is rewarded. So what we have over here is, I think we can call this judgment takes place. So on the one hand of judgment is those or the person who act in a very good way is going to be rewarded. On the other hand, what we have now is the flip side of it, and that is that Midian is going to be getting what God determines they deserve. So let's read this a little more carefully now. It gives us information that was not given last week. Last week, there was like a blur. The blur is, there's a man, there's a woman, there's this, there's that, and it didn't give us any names at that point. Now, in retrospect, it goes back and it starts telling us more information as far as who each person is. V'shem ish Yisrael ha-mukeh asher huka et ha-midyanit, Zimri ben Tzalu nasi beit av l'shamoni. Now that's very significant, both parts. One is that he is a nasi, and two is that he is a nasi of Shimon. They're both significant issues. The fact that he's a nasi, in the very beginning, God had said to Moshe, in terms of using the elders, I have to say this again. Ever since Moshe complained and he turned to God and he needs help, right? I can't do this on my own, which God said, fine, you know, we'll get you help. None of the help worked, which means the Meraglim come right afterwards. And I know that there are those who like to say that there's a breakdown of leadership. I mean, it's very popular to say this. It's to say that Moshe wasn't a good leader and Moshe failed and so on. Moshe does not get any support. And even when God says to delegate, go look what happens. And over here, look, you know, go turn to the other leaders to help you. So what does he do? Which means, again, I just want to stress this point. Zimri is supposed to be part of the solution, and instead he becomes a very large part of the problem. So again, is this Moshe's problem or Moshe's fault, or is this something that it's very hard to imagine any person who's ever been in a leadership position like Moshe who got as little support as Moshe did? And when you look through the Sefer Bamidbar, it's even his own sister, it's even his own brother talking to him, it's his own cousin Korach. Right, it's the support that he should have had from the family, from the other leaders. It's just there's no support whatsoever, and it's sometimes it seems it's just Moshe, with, as he himself says, with all of these people on his back, and no support whatsoever. Second reason why it's interesting that it's Shimon is that if you compare the census in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar with the census which will take place now, and you'll notice that the 24,000 are apparently all from the tribe of Shimon. So over here, it wasn't just a rebellion. One person makes one private decision that within Zimri's choice over here of involving himself in sin, what he has in effect done is he's shown leadership towards his tribe. And unfortunately, as I said, just to compare the census, some of them go up a little, some go down a little, but over here you'll notice that Shimon goes down significantly, and apparently all 24,000 are missing here. Rashi doesn't go as far as that. Rashi says it looks like most of them are from there. Again, he just leaves it a little bit open. But the other point is when you get to the very end of the Chumash and Moshe gives the quote-unquote blessings, right? There's the blessings of Yaakov, then there's the blessings of Moshe. The blessings of Yaakov, there's no blessings over there except for Yosef. He's the only one who gets a blessing. No, the rest of those were not blessings. When it comes, it's not a blessing. You read it, they're not blessings. On the other hand, when you get to the end of the Torah, you have the quote-unquote blessings of Moshe to all the tribes, except for the tribe that he leaves out, and the tribe that he leaves out is Shimon. So that would apparently be connected to this as well, that there is just this total rebellion coming, being led by Zimri. So, it, you know, it could be that within all the other rebellions taking place during the desert, we don't even notice this as a full-scale rebellion, but it may have likely had been. And then it continues in Pasuk Tedva, V'shema isha hamuka hamidyanit kozbi batzur rosh umot beit av b'midyanhu. Now, Tzur is identified as one of the princes or perhaps one of the kings. It's hard to know. First of all, we don't know exactly how big these places were. We don't know how big Midian is. We never get a census to know how large it is. We do know that there are five princes within. She is the daughter of one of these princes, which would make her, I guess, a princess. V'yidaber Hashem Moshe lemor, Tsror et amidyanim vehikitem otam. The word tsror most likely comes from tsar. Give them some pain. Tsror et amidyanim vehikitem otam. Hikitem generally doesn't mean just hit. It generally can be stronger than that, or can be stronger than that. Kitsorurim heim lochem. Because they caused pain for you, which would seem to indicate that there was some kind of a plot which was taking place. So they plotted against you. Now that's very interesting, because as far as we can tell, there was one woman. Okay, I'm going to come back to that in a second when we go backwards and we look at the next source. But it's very interesting that the Torah over here is described, again, give them some pain, go out against them, they plotted against you. Va'al dvar kozbi bat nesi midyan achutam. And why? Because they had sent, and now we understand that there's a parallel. The parallel is between Zimri and Kozbi. These were not just two people who happened to, I guess to use the modern terminology, hook up, right? Those of you who are older than 50, I'll explain to you later. These weren't just two people who happened to meet, you know, one day. These are both people in leadership positions. And over here, it's stressed why the Aldvar Kozbi Bat Nesi Midyan Achotam. Notice there are a lot of words, a lot of descriptive words over there, which very much lead us to the point that she did something which would have led others to follow. He did something which led others to follow. His action may very well be there to explain the other 24,000. Biyom hamagefa al dvar pa'ar. So over here, the actions of Zimri and of Kozbi are directly related to Baal Pa'ar. Although I can hesitate a little bit. I could just say that it's coincidence. It says biyom hamagefa. It happened on the same day. It's not necessarily related. But let's go back and read source number two, because there's something there which troubles me. And what troubles me, hopefully now will trouble you. And then we'll spend the rest of the time with our joint troubles. In source number two, Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim. The Jews settled in Shittim. There are a number of sources that say Vayeshev is never good. Vayeshev always seems to have bad things that follow it. Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim. There's also a midrash that says, what's the problem with Shittim? That Shittim is right near Stone, and it has the same water source as Stone. It's got bad water over there. There's some water that can do good things for you, and there's some water that can do bad things for you. This is by the bad water. This is the water of Stone. You drink this water, you end up doing things you should not be doing, which is wonderful, because then it blames the behavior on external factors instead of saying that these people should take responsibility for themselves. Vayachel ha'am liznot. But the word vayachel would seem to mean, and they began. There are those who also notice within it in terms of the opposite of kedusha is chulin. The opposite of something holy is something which is non-holy. And vayachel could either be that they began, or vayachel ha'am, the people became secular, as it were. The people lost their holiness. Vayachel ha'am liznot. And the word liznot is never a good word. And the people began to, how would you like to translate liznot?
To be promiscuous.
Excellent. You sound like you've given a lecture or two in your time.
I did.
I hear. In your past. Liznot el benot Moav. They began to become promiscuous with the daughters of Moav. Now notice something. Who were the ones, this is not a trick question, who were the ones that they began to become promiscuous with? The daughters of Moab. Okay, full stop. But to grant Allah Amla Zavche Elohim. Now I have a question. And my question right here, my question right here is, so who began with whom? Was it the Jewish men who hit on the girls of Moab, or is the girls of Moab who hit on the Jewish men? So half of you in this room are probably going to be saying, why do you always think I'm looking at you? Half of you are going to say, of course they're hitting on the Jewish men. Jewish men are hot, and it's obvious they're hitting on the Jewish men. And And some of you, right? And some of you are saying, what are you talking about? So don't blame it on the water. But it's interesting. So that's very interesting. That's very interesting. It says, Vayachel Ha'am, it sounds like it was the men who started with those girls. But what about, isn't there a plot over here? So let's pause for a second. But that, I think, is a critical question. Where did this begin? Did it begin with Moab or with Midian or with Bilam? And we'll round up all the suspects, if you like. Or does it begin with the men? So over here, we just now had a very good point, Vayachel Ha'am. But the problem also is reporting and whose perspective is being told. Vayachal ha'am liznot et benot Moav. So liznot also could be they began to be promiscuous with the daughters who made themselves very, very available and were, and so on. So even though I'm sympathetic to the read, it's not, and you said it's very clear, except it's not 100% clear. Yeah. I like both of the observations or questions over here. Charlotte's interested is where do you go to hook up? That was really what she was asking. Right. She wants to know exactly where they went to hook up. So did the Jews go to their bars, or they go to their clubs, or did they go to were they going to their marketplaces, or did they come down and so on? So let's hold off on that. And the other thing is that you got a little ahead of me, but that's the question is why is there, when it comes to Midian, we're told to go and to destroy and to take vengeance and so on, and then that's going to repeat itself. But when it comes to Moab, so then we hear silence. So therefore, what's the distinction? So we just now heard one, but let's look inside and read the words first, and then we'll get to some suggestions. So far we're told in Pasuk Aleph that it is promiscuity between the Jewish men and the daughters of Moab. Pasuk Bet is an escalation, because it's not just promiscuity, but now, once they're together, they say, come, you know, follow our practices as well, which, by the way, is a concept which echoes something which we're told much earlier. Do not marry, and now I'm being polite, marry the local girls, because you will end up following their practices. And that's exactly what takes place over here. Vayitzamed Yisrael Lebal Peor. It's also interesting that this would support something which the Gemara tells us, because it's not said in a neutral way. It's said it's their God and to their God, which means it sounds as if what the Gemara tells us, that the Jews never really believed in these kinds of things, but they, listen, this is the price you got to pay, so it's a worthwhile price. But it doesn't sound like there was actual full ideological, theological connection to these gods, because it keeps calling it Elohim, their gods. When we get to Pasuk Gimel, Yitzamed Yisrael Lebal Peor, they did this, V'charaf Hashem B'Yisrael, and God gets upset. Now, what is God upset about? Is God upset about the promiscuity, or is God upset about the idolatry? So, but what we so far have is, when it comes to the daughters of Moab, we have a two-stage problem. We have a problem of promiscuity and a problem of idolatry. And when it comes to idolatry, then my question, I think, falls when I asked before who started. Was the men who started with the women, or the women started with the men? When we get to the idolatry, it sounds very much that it was the women. The women were the ones who called upon them to serve their gods. Right? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, kach et roshei ha'am. Now going back to the duplicity of Zimri. Zimri is one of the roshei ha'am. He is one of the leaders. God says, call the leaders, vahoka'otam. And Unkelus says, vahoka'otam means put them on trial and then kill them. So I guess it's a little more politically correct than just kill them. Vahoka'otam lahashem neged hashamish, right? But, you know, let them hang in the by the noon sun, right? Vayishav charon af Hashem Yisrael, and that's what's going to cause God to, his anger to rescind. Vayom Moshe shiftei Yisrael. So Moshe does what God says. Here do ish anashav anitzmedim lebal pa'or. So again, Moshe focuses on the second part, on the bal pa'or element. V'nei ish mi b'nei Yisrael. So now because we cheated and we looked this week, we know who that ish is. That ish is Zimri. Ba v'yakrav et echav et hamidyanit, which we don't know who she is. But what we do notice is this is no longer Moav, this is Midian. La'inei Moshe ulanei kol adam b'nei Yisrael. So it sounds also that there's a public element of this. You know, I'm sure there was somebody there saying, you know, get a tent or something like that. Ve'heim abochim petach olmoed. Many interpretations what that means. Ve'yar pinchas ben elzar ben aron ha'kohen ve'kam mitoch edav ve'yikach romach biyado ve'yavo achar Ish Yisrael el kubav yidkor et shnehem et Ish Yisrael vet Isha el kubata v'ta'atzar magifa me'al b'nei Yisrael v'yu meitim b'magifa arba v'isrim aleph. So as we said, 24,000 die. Pinchas takes action. Pinchas stops this whole thing. But we're left somewhat confused regarding this week, because if I were to look at it in terms of the numbers, it sounds like the daughters of Moab were the vast majority. It sounds like the woman from Midian was one isolated case. It sounds like the idolatry followed the daughters of Moab. So why should the battle be a battle with Midian and not a battle with Moab? Now, just before we go any further, that's the question we have to ask. There are multiple answers to this question. Some of them will fit easier into the pshat, and some of them will be a little bit more challenging. Let's start with source number 3, because that's what you had said before. Source number 3 is, Vayomer Hashem Eli, Al Tatsar et Moav. Now you notice that that is very similar to Tzror et Midyanim. Al tatzar et Moav va'al titzgar bam milchama ki lo aten lacha me'artzo yirusha ki levnei lot natati et ar yirusha. Do not fight with them, do not start up with them, because I gave their land to them because they are descendants of Lot. Now I have to pause here for a second, because there's actually two different things. The Gemara over here says, Marn Baba Kama says, that Moshe had in mind to go and get them also. And God had to say, don't do it. The Ramban has a very difficult time with that Gemara. The Ramban doesn't understand that Gemara.
But here it says, because he's the daughter of
Lot. Yes. Of course. But that's only part of the problem. The other part of the problem is that the fighting against Midian has nothing to do about land. This was just now turned into land. The fighting against Midian is not about land. It's about go, and perhaps it means taking revenge, but by the way, it could also mean something else. But over here, the focus is on land. If the reason that we're fighting Midian is because what they did to us, because they went and sent down the girls, and they brought us to idolatry, and also then perhaps a fear of what it can mean in the future. So over here, it's almost like a disconnect, because there's two separate things. One is, which land should we be attacking because we are going to conquer them? The second point is, which people should we be attacking because they already started with an act of war. The act of war was to send down these girls, was an act of war. So again, I have a little bit of a problem. What's my problem? Just to say clearly. What we have is a whole bunch of girls coming down from Moab. And they get off scot-free. We have one woman coming down from Midian, go to war and destroy Midian, so that sounds like somewhat of a disconnect. Over here, this verse at first glance sounds to be important, because what did this verse say? This verse said, don't do anything to them, and it's a similar word, but why? Because you're not going to get their land, but what does that have to do with going to war? It's not the only reason to go to war. Right? Correct? So let's continue. Source 5. Lo yavo amoni u'moavi b'kal Hashem, gam dor asiri lo yavo lahem b'kal Hashem ad olam. When it comes to Amon u'moav, you cannot marry into that family. By the way, the verse right before this was that you can't marry into family of mamzerim, which is very interesting that this should come immediately afterwards. Aldvar, but it says no. The reason here is different. Why? Aldvar asher lo kidmu etchem belechem uvamayim bederech betzichem imitzrayim, because they weren't very nice to you. Va'asher sachar lecha et Bilam ben Baor miftor aram narayim likalalecha. And what else did they do to you? They hired Bilam. Now I want to stop. They hired Bilam to do what? They hired him to curse you. So let's line this up. Moav, Bilam, cursing. That's what we're just told. Moav you can't marry into. Why? Because they didn't bring you food. Going back to putting source 3 and 4 together, what do we know, but we should have known this already back from Bereshit? What do we know about Moav? Moav is the child of Lot. Over here it sounds to be that it's telling us that Lot was raised in Abraham's tent. Lot was raised knowing what chesed is. Lot was raised, therefore, with an appreciation that you, how you treat the stranger, all the more so how you treat family. And God seems to be holding them to this by saying that when the children of Israel come, you should have gone out and greeted them and treated them nicely and so on, because this is family that you're meeting up. And the fact that you didn't go out to treat them nicely, that's enough of a reason. That's enough of a reason that you, we cannot marry into the Moab family. Going further, and it adds a second consideration. What's the second consideration? Taking it back to last week or this week's parasha. And what does it say? Because not only did they not bring you food and so on, what else? They hired Bilaam, but I want to stress one thing. What did they hire Bilaam to do? They hired Bilaam, and it goes into the curse, which means basically focusing on the first part of last week's parasha. Continue. Source number 6. Moshe gets upset. This is the end of the battle of Midian. Now, one of the things, it's always interesting to read people who don't like the Torah or don't like the divinity of the Torah. And one of the things that of all episodes in the Chumash that is focused on, again, I've seen this by a number of arguments, is the battle against Midian. The battle against Midian seems to some people to be overly inclusive, overly cruel, that we go out and we're wiping out people, innocent people are being wiped out and so on. So how in the world could we do this? And part of it is focusing on this part here, source 6. Vayaviu Moshe ve'Elazar Kohen ve'Eladav b'nei Yisrael et ha'shvi ve'et ha'malkoach ve'et ha'shalal el ha'machaneh. So all the captive people and all the captive possessions are brought to the camp. El avot Moab v'shal yaden yirecho. V'yitzu Moshe ve'Elazar Kohen v'chol nisi'ei ha'idah l'kratam el michutz l'machaneh. They go out and take a look. V'yitzof Moshe al pekudei ha'chayel. And Moshe gets very upset with the officers. Why? You left the girls, the women alive. Now that's a remarkable statement. Why is that remarkable? It's Moab. So again, what is going on over here between Moab and Midian? Second point is, did in fact Bilaam give this advice, or did he not give this advice? Which means, did Bilaam come and say to them, listen, these people are a very hard people to curse. In order to really bring them down, you need to bring them down spiritually, and then you'll be able to vanquish them. So was this Bilaam's plan? Did Bilaam say this plan? So you read this verse, it says, Heina hayul of Yisrael bidvar Bilaam lumsor ma'al b'Hashem al dvar pa'or. So it just now connected Bilaam together with this plot of Baal Pa'or, which, by the way, was not said at all in last week's parasha. So again, we're left to this point, so hold it. Is it Midian? Is it Moab? Pa'or? Who was involved in this? Whose idea was this? Where did this come from? And again, I'm going back to, just one more second, again, I'm going back to source number 1, when it says in Pasuk Yud Chet, Kitzorim heim lachem b'nichleim asher niklu lachem. Again, talking about Midian, al dvar pa'or. You notice dvar pa'or over here, al dvar pa'or. Ve'al dvar kozmi bat nasib Midian, achotam uka b'yom ha'gefa, al dvar pa'or. So, they're connected to Pa'or, even though we didn't see any evidence that Midian was connected to Pa'or when we looked at it right beforehand. Because they didn't bring them out water and drink. They should have bring them out water and drink. The second reason was only regarding Moab. Source number 7, which is a little bit before source number 6, we're going backwards, we'll go more backwards as we continue. Ve'et malchei Midian hargu et chalaleim et eviv et rekam et sur. Over here, Kozbi is bat sur, and it's described as malchei. So again, either a prince or a king, I don't know exactly what the real difference is within those days, within that context. You obviously had clans, how large the clans was, but I'm just pointing out that Sur is considered to be one of the kings. But it continues, V'chur v'drevet chameshet melchei Midian, v'et Bilaam ben Behor hergu b'charev. Which means the killing of Bilaam is also included with the killing of them. So therefore, it's not just that Midian is killed. Midian is killed because of Bilaam, and Bilaam over here is killed together with Midian. I'm just saying is that all this gets put together, even though I hope all of us are, again, at least somewhat confused, because this should have been Moab, and what happened to this? Why are we switching over here? Source number 8. Here's the Midrash Rabbah. Surat HaMidyanim, Lama Kitzarim Heim Lachem, Mikan Amru Chachamim, Bor Lahargacha, Hashkem Lahargo. By the way, this is not the only source for such an idea. If somebody comes to kill you, then you're allowed to take a preemptive strike. Now that's very interesting. What is it saying? How is the Midrash understanding the Pasuk? Surat HaMidyanim, why? Lama Kitzarim Lachem, Tzarim Lachem. Who are these people? These are people who want to destroy you. Which means, not because, this is not vengeance for what they did. This is a preemptive strike before they go and do this to us again. Again, that's what the Midrash just now said. Tzurat ha-midyanim, lama ki tzururim heim lochem, mikanam ruchachamim, bor lahargacha, shkem lahargo. Which means the way the Midrash is understanding this is, we don't do something to Binyan now, they're going to come after us again and again and again. This is a preemptive strike. We are at war with them. Rav Shimon Amar Midayim Shemachtiya Ta Adam Yoter Min Horeg Shahoreg Horeg Ba'olam Hazeh V'Yishlo Chayv Golom Haba V'Hamachti Horego B'Olam Hazeh B'Olam Haba, giving us another flavor to this, because not only do they award us, but what they try to do is make us sin and try to bring us down, and they harmed us in this world and the next world. Skipping towards the end, it says that there are two nations. Avol Elu Shekadmu Ba'aveir Lachtiyat Yisrael Lo Yavo Amani Omo Avi Gam dor asiri ad olam, which is interesting that it just now switched back to Moab. So I'm going to say it again, that there seems to be some kind of confusion over here going back and forth. Source number 9 will begin to get to some explanations. Surat HaMidyanim, this is Chaim Paltiel in the larger context within the Tosfot school. Talmud Darish Mehalcha Gadol Machtiyat Adam Yoter Mehoreg, which is that midrash. So Venira Dahod Dehikpid Al Midyanim Yoter Mimoav Mishim Demoavim Asukin Lahatzil Atzmam Avam Midyanim Nit Avru Al Riv Lo Lahem. So let's understand this, because there's a lot to be said for this. He's not the only one who says it. A lot of Rishonim take this approach. If we had a map, we would be able to see that the Jews passed by Moab on their way to the land of Israel. They don't necessarily pass by Midian. More than that, Moab sees what happens in the previous battle with Amori. They get scared because they're on the way, and they think they're going to attack them. On the other hand, Midian has nothing to do with this. They're not on the way. It's not theirs, which means what he's saying is there's a difference between a country that does, think a second, because it's very interesting, connected back to what we just now saw in the Midrash Rabbah. There's a difference between a country that takes a preemptive strike, which is a defensive preemptive strike. Does that sound strange? A preemptive defensive strike, because they're scared of what they're about to do with them. Again, the days leading up to the Six-Day War, where you have nations saying, we're going to destroy you, we're going to drive you into the sea, and so on and so forth. So that's a preemptive defensive strike to protect ourselves against what they say they're going to do to us. So over here, and what happened? So we know the results of what happened, but still, that's essentially habor lahagacha, shkem lahargo. So what's interesting over here is what he's saying, yeah, that's why we are allowed to go and attack Midian, but that's also why Moab was allowed to attack us. Because Moab perceives that what we're going to do is to attack them, so therefore they take a preemptive strike. That makes sense with Moab. What he's saying, on the other hand, Midian has nothing to do with this. Midian is not involved with this whatsoever, so therefore it says, Alval Midyanim Nit Avruel Riv Lo Lahem. They got involved in something which simply had nothing to do with them. Let's continue. Source 10. But this is later on when the war is going to happen. Right? Afterwards, again, it's called Nikmat Hashem B'Midyan. Rashi writes, here he explains it, Me'eta Midyanim V'lo Me'eta Moavim. And not for Moav. So Rashi says, why? Shemoavim Nichnusul Devar Machmat Yir'ah, Shayu Yir'im Mehem, Shayu Sholim Otam, Shalo Nemar Ela Adr Gabehem Milchama, V'al Midyanim Netvru Ariv Lo Lahem. Again? So, you already see it in Rashi. Davar Acher, quoting the Gemara, Nishne Pridot, which Rashi in the Gemara translates as two doves, two beautiful birds. Tovot Sheyesh Lilhotzi Mehem Ruta Movia V'Nama Amunit. Wait, don't do anything to him yet, because we still have Rut who's going to come from Moab, and therefore Rashi gives us two interpretations why a distinction between Moab and Midian. One is because of Rut, and the other that Midian really had nothing to do with all of this. Rashi in 12 writes, and this is explaining back in Perikaf Hey, Liznot El Benot Moav. Remember we asked whose idea and who started. Rashi says, La'yidei Eitzat Bil'am Kide'ita B'chelet. Which is a very interesting comment, because I could have claimed, okay, let me slow down a second. Whose idea was it that the Jews sinned with the girls of Moab? So he says, it's Bilam's idea. And how does he know it? Because it says it in Chelek. Now that's very strange. Where else did it say it? It said it in the Chumash. So why in the world is Rashi? So those of you who are cynical can say, well, Rashi is a yeshiva bacher. That's what yeshiva bacherim do. They quote the Gemara, they don't quote the... But this is strange. So the question is, did the Chumash really say what we thought it said? Because if it did, then wouldn't Rashi have had to say it? It didn't say it perhaps as much as we thought. It was in source number 6, in Pasuk Ted Zayin, Heina, Hayul of Yisrael, Bidvar Bil'am, Lemsor Ma B'Shem Al Dvar Pa'or. So take a look now. Okay, we saw what Rashi said. Take a look at the Chizkuni in source 14. Bidvar Bil'am lumsor ma'al shrei mitoch dvarav shel Bil'am sh'amar lohi bit avon b'Yaakov lamdu lahachti'am. Now that's fascinating. The Chizkuni said Bil'am never gave this advice. Bil'am never said this is what you should do. But again, Chizkuni does not agree with Rashi. Rashi said it was Bilam's idea. What does he say? They got it from Bilam. Because Bilam gives this whole, he blesses instead of curses. Look how chaste the Jews are. Look how the tents are set up and so on and so forth. So what do they say? Ah, now we got it. In order to defeat them, what do we need to do? We need to bring them down from their spiritual level. So therefore, from Bil'am, they understood this is what they have to do. So that, and that, as I said, that's the way the Chizkuni explains it. It's interesting within Rashi, in source number 12, in Pasuk Tedvav, Rashi writes, V'shema isha lo diacha sin'atam shel midyanim shivkiru bat melech liznut kidei lachdid Yisrael. So he says, in a certain sense, the actions of Midian was worse. Why was it worse? Again, we don't know if the first part was spontaneous, the first part was a plan. The girls of Moab, that we don't know yet. But what do we know is that when the princess from this nation comes down, that's already a whole other story. Again, that's already a leadership position. That's somebody who's going to have impact on others. So it says that their hatred was so profound that they're willing to send the leaders. Again, notice today, this is an unfortunate observation. Notice today that among Palestinian terrorists, you virtually never have a suicide bomber who is the child of leadership of the Palestinians. It never happens. Who do you have being the ones? It's always people who are much more on the peripheral. Again, I could tell you something interesting about that. There was a number of years ago in University of Haifa, there was a study and regarding female suicide bombers. And they found that almost across the board, the female suicide bombers were ones who had done sins that they, in their culture, would very soon have been victims of honor killings. And the only way that they can save their, and the only way that they can save their honor was actually by showing how holy they were, and therefore I'm gonna die anyway, I may as well go and kill myself. So social workers started doing preemptive work and started talking to the girls that we would call off the derech or at risk.
At risk.
At risk. The at risk. And they started doing work with them and talking to them saying, if you go and kill yourselves, everybody's going to know why you did it. And that's going to bring more shame to your family than anything else. And the numbers actually went down afterwards. But yeah. But I'm just saying it's that it's interesting over here is that you never have the leadership send their children in. Over here, something interesting happens. So therefore, when I compare Midian and Moab, so on the one end, you have all these girls, but it's the common girls for Moab. When I look at Midian, again, this is a second reason to talk about a more ideological position. Moab is scared because they're next. Midian has nothing to do with this. Moab, there's mingling going on. Midian sends the princess herself down. So as I said, that's already a couple of reasons to look at this as being somewhat more severe. Look at the Ramban in source 15. It's a long Ramban. We're not going to have time to get through all of it. V'tam b'nichleim kasher pirashti, ki ziknei Midyan chashvu ha-machshava ha-ra-azot. That the plan was actually Midyan's plan. So one second, that's something we never saw before. Why did the girls of Moab come down? Because Midyan was the one who led them down. How did Midyan lead them down? By the princess herself coming down and saying, come, we're going down. Oh, this is the princess, and they follow. So over here, the Ramban has, and you understand why the Ramban is going this direction, because otherwise we have an insurmountable problem. Why are we going to war against Midyan when the problem is Moab? He says, no. Moab, the ones who were led astray by Midyan. Midyan, the ones who did it. And I'll say it again. This is what Moshe's response is. That the girls of Midyan are part of the war, because the girls of Midyan are ideologically involved in this. They're ideologically committed to the destruction of Israel. The girls of Moab, it's not an ideological issue. It's that there is a tension, there's a war which is going on. But over here, it's the princess or the queen, whatever you want, the Bat Melech, as opposed to the common folk. The Ramban continues, Ki ziknei Midyan chashvu ha-machshava ra-azot, kemo she-ne'emar, v'yomer Moav el ziknei Midyan, ki behem nityatsu mitchila, v'hem natnu etzazu le-Moav, that in terms of the first approach, it was coming from Moav, v'hem natnu etzazu le-Moav, she-tazmina b'notam imahem, v'yitzmidu otam le-bal pa'or, v'adichem me'al Hashem, v'im lo niskar sham. Va'od sheshachu lehem bat malachim leznot imahem. V'zet ham va'al dvar kozbi bat nasi Midyan achotam. So I want to pause a second. When it spoke about why we can't marry into Moab, what was the pshat the Torah said? What did Moab do wrong? They hired Bilam, and what did it say to? Curse. It's all that it said. It didn't go further. But you can say, but what are you talking about? But they did these other things as well. So that is really, I think, where the Ramban is coming from. And the Ramban is really insisting this is pshat. Where did we see the Torah complaining about Pa'or? Only when talking about Midyan. But you can say, but what are you talking about? When we read the thing in real time, it was the girls of Moab, right? And they're the ones who are guilty of Pa'or. And then Midyan comes. There's this woman from Midyan. It doesn't even say anything about Pa'or there. So what I'm saying is that I have two points. One is the problem, the other is the solution, but they're interrelated, obviously. The problem is, so why are we going to get to war against Midian and not against Moab? So what's the answer? Because they're the ones who are the instigators regarding this particular episode. That's really what the Ramban is saying over here. He didn't go as far as, like, maybe you can read it into it, but I'm saying when you look at the Pesukim, I think it becomes very, very clear. The Pesuk against Moab says, because they hired him to curse, that's all that they did. When it comes to the Pesukim against Midian, what did they do? Oh, they're the ones who got involved in Pa'or. But now you realize how clever they were. How did they get us involved in Pa'or? They got us by subcontracting hookers from... Yes? From Moab. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my language. Imagine if my parents weren't here. Yeah? My wife wasn't here. We'd be bringing pictures and stuff, right? But now, if you think about it, it is the daughter of the queen, which now, in retrospect, she's the one who's leading the way, versus the common folk who are doing things. Yeah, they're doing it, but they were in, meaning what we have over here is the starting point of the whole thing. Moav is scared, they go to Midyan. So what do we keep saying? Again, Chizkuni, Rashi, we could have understood it as well. What are we being told? There's nothing to do with you, Midyan. But they have so much hatred. They have so much hatred, they're the ones who are going to war. Again, if you want to go back to the psychological thing, why does Midyan have so much hatred? So Midyan is the rejected child of Avram Avinu. Midyan is the rejected child. Really? Midyan is the rejected child, the son of Keturah. He's the one who sent away. He's the one we don't want in the family anymore. And now he has his chance to take revenge against them. So he's the one who's going to take revenge. And let's see who really should have been sent away. Let's see who really should have been the child of Avram Avinu. Again, if you want to do a psychoanalysis of people who aren't here, I mean, the problem of doing a psychoanalysis of people who aren't here is you can't charge them. I mean, the billing is the most important part of the analysis anyway, right? It's therapeutic. There's anger over here. There's something over here where it's ideological, and what they want to do is that they want to show the Jewish people are not holy, so they're the ones who bring the daughters of Moab into this. Now, let's skip to the Kliyakar 16. Sarata Midyanim, Veloti Valatura to Moabim, Lafishanema, Vichala Amla's note, El Benot Moab. Mahu Vayachal, Elokach Pershu, this is exactly what you wanted to say. She Yisrael Hayu Matchilim, Vitovim, at Benot Moav. It was the Jewish men who started hitting on the Benot Moav. The Jewish men were seducing the women. So here he lowers it even more and saying, "Is it, yeah, the Jews sinned, but that wasn't because they sent them." So I'm going to say it again. Think about location. The Jews are in Arvot Moav. They're right next to Moav. So the fact that you're asking, you want to know where they happen, where they pick them up, they're right there. They're going to the well, they come back, they're whatever, they meet each other, they're right there in the same proximity. How in the world do the women from Midian show up over here? The only way they got here is because it's a plan, they want to go and send the women over there. That's a whole different issue. They're not just hanging out over here. Aval b'midyanim hayad davar behefuch sh'adaraba. Hamidyanim hifkiru b'noteim sh'tavu Yisrael l'znut. V'hasfara notenet ki eich mal'u libo shel zimri l'tfoat bat melech. He goes, think about it. He's going to go and hit on the daughter of the, on a princess? He goes, no, it's the other way around. Elevadai shehi tavato. No, it's the other way around. She was the one who tried to seduce him. The Shlal David, who you probably never heard of, Rav Yosef David Zinheim. Anybody know who that is? He was the head of the Sanhedrin of Napoleon. Napoleon. He was the head of Napoleon's Sanhedrin. He was actually a very, very prominent Talmud Chacham, which is why Napoleon turned to him. He asked the same question. V'kasha, lama midyanim dafka v'lo moavim? U'mitareit ki tzarim him lachem. Kloma midyanim him tzarim lachem be'etzem. U'v'chavana b'pnei ha-sin'ah. Sh'ri lo yalem li'ram Yisrael. V'mkein ma'asha soya b'shvil tzarim him lachem. So that we saw. Skip a little bit. So again, he wants to say that they plotted against you. Again, all of this comes from Midian. Midian was the one that did it. Why? Kibat melechi. Which goes back to this leadership, the fact that it's the queen. I want to point out something which I consider to be incredibly ironic. And my only question is if the Gemara actually is hinting this. Right? You always have to wonder if the Gemara means this, or this is just my reading into this, but we're going to notice something interesting. Somebody mentioned David HaMelech before. Source number 18, Amar Rav, Kach Mekublani Mi Beidino Shel Shmuel HaRamati. I have a tradition going all the way back to the Beit Din of Shmuel. So what was the big psak that Shmuel gave? Amoni V'lo Amonit. Moavi V'lo Moavit. When it says you can't marry somebody from Amun or Moav, it's only the males that cannot be married, but the women can marry into the Jewish people. They can convert, they just can't marry into the Jewish community itself. But Moav, a Moavit, a female can. Of course, that is what ends up allowing David HaMelech to be considered to be somebody who is a reputable Jew in terms of genealogy. So the Gemara goes on and explains, Shani Hachad Hashmuel Beidino Kayam Mikol Mokam Kasha Hachad Targimo Kol Kavoda Bat Melech Pnima. So what's the source of this? It's because that we have a verse in Psalms that says Kol Kavoda Bat Melech Pnima. What does that mean? That the dignity of the daughter of a king is something which is Pnima inside. Now, what does the pasuk actually mean? So, if you go to a Beis Yaakov, then you start a whole idea in terms of sniut and so on, and how you have to dress and how you have to behave, and you're about melech and so on and so forth. But what's the point over here? Why is it bringing this? It's saying, let's continue a little bit further down. Rabbi Shimon Omer Advar Ashel Kidmu Etchem Belechem Uvayim. So what's he saying? Remember the pasuk that we saw, it says you cannot marry into the family of Moav. Why? Because they did not bring food. So who would be the ones who normally should bring food? The men, and it says, careful. It says that the men are the ones who go out, kol kavod debat melech pnima. The girls are the ones who stay home. So there was never an expectation for them to go out. The fact that they didn't go out to bring food is not considered to be a stain on them. And therefore, you can marry the Moabite women and not the men. Now, that's very, very strange for the following reason. Of course, the daughters of Moab did come out. By the way, they did eat with them, they did drink with them, and they even slept with them. So, like, what are you talking about? I have this feeling is the contrast. It's the contrast between Moab and Midian. When it came to Moab, what does it say? Kol kavod bat melech pnima. So, who stayed home? The bat melech stayed home. Where did the bat melech not stay home? By Midian. Which means this, in a certain sense, is screaming out the distinction. But by the way, I could say, what did the Pasuk say is the problem? The Pasuk, just to flip it around for a second, strange this is, I could say that what's the problem is that when Moab heard the Jews are on the way, what should they have done? They should have brought food and drink and so on. They should have been nice to them. Now, when I go back and read that Pasuk, V'yeshiv Yisrael b'yishitim v'yachel am l'znotet b'not marav v'tekwenda la'am l'zavchei Eloheim v'yachal la'am v'yishtachibu lahem. Vayochal ha'am, what does that mean? They began, they were sitting and they were eating and they were drinking and they were partying together. So if the problem is, the reason we can't marry into them is because they weren't nice to us, well, they were very nice to us. I mean, it could be the problem is they may have been a little
too nice
to us. This is interesting because the Gemara seems to be saying, but it's the Bat Melech. It's the Kol Kavod Bat Melech. So it's fascinating. The Gemara uses this as the argument why David HaMelech is okay and why, because the Bat Melech. So again, the men of Moab don't come. Let's try to put everything together right now. What's our problem? Our problem is when we go to war, we're told to go to war against Midian and not told to war against Moab. Why go to war against Midian? Why not Moab? Moab, by the way, and this is a strange read on things, Moab could have started the whole thing with Balak. The Jews are coming. We're so scared of them. Let's try to curse them and get rid of them and so on. And what could have been the conclusion of the people? It's not going to work. Why bother? They seem to be nice people. And let's go. Meaning, I'm saying this may not, by when it comes to the people of Moab, this may not be a nefarious plan. And what ends up happening? They end up being nice, and they end up being nice, and that's the problem. When you're cynical Jews like we are, so there's two types of non-Jews. Those that hate us and those who love us. And we just don't know who to be more scared of. Right? So over here, it starts off with hatred, and then it ends up, oh, look how nice they are to us. No, that's even scarier that they're nice to us. Because what happens when they're nice to us? Then we eat with them, and we sleep with them, and we go to church with them, and we do whatever else they want us to end up doing, and that's what gets very frightening about this story. But that doesn't mean that there is a war against us. On the other hand, the Torah attests to it. If the Torah didn't attest, then I wouldn't be arguing so much. The Torah attests, oh, the plot? Yeah, there was a plot. The plot comes by from Midian, which means Midian could have said, you know, let's change plans, let's go be nice, be really nice to them. So, okay, but when it comes to Midian, Midian was the one who said that we're doing this in order to bring them down spiritually, in order to show that they're no good. Because when it comes to Midian, they had what's the term? They had no dog in this fight, right? They had nothing to do with this whatsoever, but they are doing this out of hate. So therefore, when it comes to Moab, and they want to make a preemptive strike against us because they're scared of us, okay, that's understandable. Midian has nothing to do with it. But Midian hates us so much, they're willing to do anything, including send the princess out herself to be sleeping around, which is understood as being something which is quite remarkable, out of the hatred. That country we need to go to war with, because that's a preemptive strike on our part, because they will keep on doing this again and again because of the hatred that they have towards us. Which means the difference between Midian and Moab becomes one of a pragmatic versus one which is an ideological position. Midian is ideological, Moab is pragmatic. So again, and that's why I keep saying, I think this could be supported by the Psukim themselves at the Pshat later on. When it comes to Moab, why can't we marry into them? Oh, because they're the ones who hired Bilaam to curse you. When it comes to Midian, what's the problem? They're the ones who really initiated the whole thing of Baal Peor, even though live, as it was happening, we thought it was Moab. Yes, because Moab girls were subcontracted to do the dirty work for them, but who was the leader of this whole thing? The leader was the Bat Melech. And how interesting then, when it comes to Moab, what are we told? We can marry them. Why? Because of Kol Kvod, the Bat Melech Pnima. So I said, that just becomes a fascinating contrast between the two positions. There, the opposite is true. Kol Kvod, the Bat Melech Pnima, that their girls were never expected to go out. But when they did go out, and now I'm going a little bit further, it could be, therefore, that it's not only is it not an ideological position in order to cause us to sin, quite the opposite. It could be because they're simply acting like Benot Moab. Act, and you know, there's something interesting about how Benot Moav act, but it may not be out of hatred, it may not be out of malice, it may not have been out of any kind of motivation to sin, because the Torah blames the entire plot going back to Midian. And the only question is where Bilam comes into all of this. So there is one thing, we skipped it along the way, but there is one approach that says that Bilam then finds out that all these Jews died, and he goes then running back to do what? What did we say the most important part was?
To build
them. He says, look, my plan worked. So now, to what extent it was his plan or wasn't his plan, as I said, that is debatable, whether he actually told them or they just understood it, as we saw. But Bilam, once he sees the success and Jews die, okay, Jews die, let's cash in on this, and he wants to take credit. And that's why he's there together with Midian when the Jews go back to take vengeance, and that's why he's killed together with Midian, because one way or the other, he is part of this plan as well. But as I said, the Torah speaks about the involvement with Bilam in two different ways between Moab and Midian, and that seems to be the strongest evidence that not only did they do different things, but they saw the relationship with Bilam in two different ways.